On the recorder, there we go.
I record the talks for our friend, puts them up on a website that he runs. It's called Dharma Punks NYC at Podbean. If you look up Dharma Punks NYC, you can find them if you ever want to go and hear them. Anyway, so tonight I'm going to talk about a Buddhist perspective on a meaning for life. That's right. What is a perspective on the meaning of life itself? How fun and pompous is that? That's great. But I'm only going to call it a meaning, because lots of spiritual paths have different meanings, and there's lots of meanings besides Buddhism, and there's no reason you should believe anything I say or the Buddha says. You should simply hear this stuff, go out and practice it, and see if it's true. Do not believe anything that anyone tells you. Test it out. See if it's true. Don't believe me. Why should you believe me? I'm a strange-looking guy with a lot of tattoos and stuff like that. I'm just sharing my studies and the practice. So here it goes. About 150 years ago, oh my God, he's starting that far back. Yes, 150 years ago, there was a big event in the world. This guy, Darwin, who you probably heard about, published the book, The Origin of the Species, which pretty much put the final nail in the coffin to this idea of God thing. Basically, if you haven't heard, what Darwin basically said is that we're not here for any big, huge God-like plan. Darwin said that human beings arose as a result of something called natural selection. Basically, we are the result of millions of years of evolution, where species slowly and slowly mutate and over time adapt to the surroundings, becoming more and more capable of surviving. And mankind is basically at pretty much the top of the food chain. The idea that species basically evolve, and they evolve with two basic things, and, well, basically the idea is to reproduce, so there'd be more species. That's the big idea. But the two big issues are, of course, being able to find food when you need food, because you need food to keep going, and to avoid predators. So beings that could do those two things pretty much lucked out. Now, this huge revolution in thought, that there was no big divine plan for mankind or for the earth, that we are just simply the result of a natural process that had no godlike hand in it, had immediate far-ranging repercussions in the world of philosophy and the sciences. The philosophers, even philosophers before Darwin like Schopenhauer, but the ones after him like the great Nietzsche and Sartre and the existentialists and the phenomenologists, Husserl and all those, basically when this revolution in thought happened, basically came to the conclusion that was summarized, well, Nietzsche said famously that God is dead, because once we accept Darwin, that we're here pretty much by just a process of natural selection, there's no divine plan, there's no purpose for us, there's no room for God, Nietzsche said. It's an ended concept. And Sartre said himself something even more interesting. He said, existence precedes essence, which is a fanciful way of saying, we're here, but there's no fucking point to it, kids. That's what he was saying. There is no fucking point. We are here, but there's no pre-given reason. The hammer is here for a reason. My iPhone is here for a reason, so that I can drop calls and tape my talks. This bowl is here for a reason to ring, and my watch is here for a reason to tell time. But none of us are here for any reason other than perhaps just to keep the species going. But that's it. So this big idea that there's a whole point was pretty much obliterated, it seems, by this revolution that started really all the way back with Copernicus, and the idea that the Earth revolves around the sun, not the other way around. And this was the final nail in the coffin. So this idea often gets played out in most people's lives. We get to a point where we wake up one day and we say, in quotes, holy fuck, what have I done with my life? Why am I doing this? Why am I working at this job I don't like? Why am I, you know, spending all my money on this? What have I done with my life? Why have I spent my life just surviving, just believing what people told me what to do, just following common sense or what my parents said was the right thing for me to pursue? How did I get here? Talking head song. How did I get behind the wheel of this big automobile? So, we all have our existential crises. Why are we here? Where we stumble upon this big question. Why? Why am I here? And there's more to it, because basically the human mind is unlike animals. We are capable of having an inner autobiography where we follow all of our actions from the past to the present, and we tell a little story about ourselves. And then we are also the only animal that is aware that we're going to die, that we are going to come to an end, that one day there will be a world and we won't be in it. Even there's this rumor that the Buddha said that our consciousness is reborn. The Buddha never said that. He said that the energy of life might go on, but your consciousness and your thoughts, they disappear with death. So there's this awareness that we have that we're going to die. And it seems to be pretty fucking bleak, right? I mean, why are we given this extraordinary self-consciousness that we are alone in our heads, that we have a subjective consciousness that's going to end one day? I mean, these are the things that allowed us to become so powerful that we gained control and dominated the world and became the top of the food chain. And we got rid of all of our predators, basically, so that we can basically live a much safer life than any other being or any other creature on this planet ever gets to live. In fact, in the last few thousand years, the world has become so safe for us that we're living, in a sense, in brains that are way outdated. We're still living in brains that have the emotional reflexes as if we are being hunted down the way we were 40,000 years ago when the brain last changed through, you know, the process of evolution. The brain hasn't really changed in the last 10,000 years, but the world has changed enormously. So we are still stuck in these brains that are filled with fear and anger and all these worries about the future. And most of these fears and most of this angst is completely unnecessary because we've made the world so safe for us. The lifespan in the last few thousand years has gone up from 23 to well over 70. That's a huge, startling... That would be like as if cats one day, well, your cat is going to live to 65. You'd be like, what the fuck? They got it all worked out. They got their litter, they got their food, they got it all worked out. It would be like... So we far outlive our what the brain was set up to expect. The brain is not set up to really get us happiness. It's set up for the purpose of surviving long enough so that we can fucking have babies, basically, to reproduce. That's what natural selection has set up the brain for. So we have this really powerful fear and craving centers for the brain. And the brain is very, 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 very subjective. These craving centers completely warp everything we see and perceive because the brain is not set up to accurately portray the world. It's set up to highlight food or sex possibilities and to highlight danger and predators. That's what the brain is set up for. Your brain was never set up for, it's in our natural best interest to be happy. That's not what natural selection led us towards. It led us simply to have brains that are best for surviving. So we've conquered the world, and the Buddha had this amazing realization. He looked around at these facts I just gave you, and far from finding it depressing that we're aware that we're going to die, that we are endlessly stringing together these internal little autobiographies that often cause us stress, that we live in very subjective minds that are run by impulses beyond our control that distort the world we see. The Buddha looked at this and he said, aha, this isn't a fucking deficit. This is actually an incredible opportunity. We actually have the opportunity, unlike any other being, even the Buddha didn't deny that gods exist. The Buddha said that they're totally unimportant. It doesn't matter if they're gods, they can't help us, and I'll tell you why. The Buddha said, we alone, human beings, have the ability, because of our self-consciousness, because of our ability to keep track of our actions from the past into the present, because we know we're going to die, because we know we live in a subjective mind, we have the capability of achieving lasting happiness completely not contingent on the world around us. I'll say that again. We have the capability of being truly, lastingly happy. Why? Unlike any other being, you and me have the ability to know I am suffering right now. But not only that, I can look back at the things I've done and the things I've focused my mind on and the things I've, the actions I've taken, and I can review and say, hey, wait, what did I do to bring this about? That very same ability to tell a story about myself, I can use positively. I can figure out how I'm bringing about my own suffering. This knowledge that I'm going to die is actually, can be a spur onto the fact that rather than waiting for some promised happiness in the future, which won't arise in the future, that the only time I can really get it is now. It can spur on my practice and my efforts. I can use it as something to induce me to work harder, to train my mind. The fact that the mind is subjective, that it doesn't accurately, isn't enslaved to objectively recreating the outside world, means actually that a mind that is filled with positive thoughts can affect itself positively no matter what's going on around you. You can be in a terrible situation, but you can actually use the mind's subjectivity, the ability of the mind to have its emotions control what it perceives, you can use that positively rather than it be a negative thing. We talk about how often it can be a beautiful day, but if we're in a bad mood, all we'll see is shit on the ground and, you know, and horrible people. But the inverse is true too. It can be rainy and gray and ugly and bad things can happen, but the mind is so subjective, so, in fact, enslaved by its emotional and intentions and goals, that you can actually use this ability to create lasting happiness by, of course, bringing the focus within. The more we try to find happiness outside all the time in the world, the more we're trying to make our happiness and our peace of mind contingent upon things we have no control over whatsoever. We can't control other people. The best we can do is compete with them, and most of the time we're not going to be happy with the results. People will do things we don't like, say things we don't like. They won't, in relationships, behave all the time the way we want them to. So if we make our happiness and our sense of self-esteem based on approval from others, you're basically saying, it doesn't matter what I've done, it's only good if I get somebody to say it's good. And how contingent is that? How likely to fail is that approach? On the other hand, if we find our true, lasting inner sustenance within, we can, in fact, using these abilities of seeing how we've focused the mind, learning from it, seeing what thoughts we've been thinking, changing them to more skillful thoughts, seeing what we've been perceiving or focusing the mind on other things, we can bring about a time in our lives where we can find peace whenever we want it. Now, nobody's saying to become a hermit and just turn your back on the world and do nothing. That's far from what the Buddha taught. The Buddha said once we have developed inner peace, we'll want to go out and react with the world in a new way. Not from a reactive, I've got to control you to get my happiness. But instead, I'll go out and I'll be much more peaceful and much more compassionate because I'm not trying to get from you my sense of worth and my esteem and my happiness and my inner peace. I'm getting that within. So I don't need you. I don't need to take from you. I don't need to control you anymore. If I'm in a relationship with you, I don't need you to say what I want you to say. You can say whatever you want to say because I've got a source of happiness within that's always available. So this is some big stuff. The really big, huge thing that comes about that sets the Buddha aside, besides this incredible optimism that far from being fucked, we have an incredible opportunity to find lasting happiness. Even the gods, he said, couldn't find lasting happiness. Why? Because they were so fucking happy all the time for a short while they were gods, they never bothered to learn what they're doing that's unskillful. And eventually, in the Buddhist perspective, the gods return to earth as human beings, and then they wind up back in our position, where they have to learn, and that's where they can really learn to find lasting happiness. And anyway, to go on to one of the big ideas is that this changes the way we view what the truth is. From the Buddhist perspective, what's most important is how we use the mind towards finding lasting peace and happiness, which means that there can be thoughts that are true but are not helpful. I'll give you an example. A big example is like billions of years from now, the sun's going to explode, everything's going to be wiped away, the solar system properly. I don't know the science of it, but it's all going to be gone, okay? Trust me on this, right? That's true. But that's a sucky thought. Why is that a sucky thought? Because there's no way you can use that thought to be skillful or bring yourself peace of mind. All it's going to do is make you depressed. Oh shit, what does it matter? Billions of years from now, it's all going to disappear. That's a true thought that's of no use. Here's another true thought. There's probably somebody out there in the world that doesn't like you right now. Human beings love to try to read other human beings' mind and figure out, well, I don't like that person because they don't fucking like me. Fuck them. Now, it might be true. You might have actually found somebody who actually doesn't like you. But guess what? Thinking about that is of no use whatsoever. It brings you no wisdom. It brings you no lasting peace of mind. You can be the smartest human being in the world, the nicest human being in the world. You could be the person that discovers the cure for cancer, and still somebody out there won't like you. And trying to make them like you, or trying to figure out why they don't like you, or trying to know exactly who likes you and who doesn't like you, it's a total waste of time. So those thoughts may be true, but they're useless. So many of the... Wait until the fire hydrants, the fire engines go by. So many of the thoughts that we dedicate ourselves to because we believe there might be some truth to them are useless. For example, what's going to happen to me in the future? There's no way you can know. that fire truck might come back and hit me on my way home. I like to ride my bike on the way home. So if I'm, like, really trying to figure out what's going to happen to me in the future, it would be a total waste of time. It's a waste of time to try to figure out what you think about me. It won't bring me any wisdom. It won't bring me any happiness. It won't bring me any value that will help me in any way be compassionate to you. It's a waste of time to compare myself to you and ask myself, am I better or worse than you? Am I smart or as dumb or as beautiful or as not beautiful or whatever as you? Because none of that, even if it's objectively true, we live in subjective minds, and this information in no way can help us on the great purpose for life, which is we can achieve lasting happiness. So when you think of your thoughts instead of in terms of, ooh, is this true? And instead the salient question becomes, is this thought not only true, but is this thought really something that's helpful? Is this thought something that when I think it or have thought it in the past, it has brought about clarity and happiness? Or did this thought, in fact, just leave me wound up and miserable? The third thing the Buddha said before thinking, not only is it true, but is it useful, is it the right time? Do I have to be thinking about this right now? So this is, you know, for example, when you're meditating, it might be, a thought might be true and useful in other times, like, I'd like to be compassionate, or I'd like to treat myself well, or I'd like to be less judgmental about myself, or I'd like to appreciate what my friend did for me. But all of those thoughts while you're in a breath meditation are probably not the right time. So again, view the thoughts not only from the perspective as if it's true, but do I have to think this right now, and is it really helpful? This totally transforms the way we use our mind. So finally, what I'm going to end with is one final note on the spiritual path. The spiritual path itself, once you begin to realize that there is a goal to it, which is finding peace and calm that's contingent upon skillful actions and using our minds wisely, practicing thoughts, compassionate thoughts, generosity, appreciation of what others have done for us, practicing goodwill towards others, being having balance in life. Once we realize we have a goal, there's this tendency to want to judge ourselves as to how close or far we are from this goal, this thing we're heading for. And one thing that's clear from my practice, I have to tell you, after many, many years, is that the spiritual life is not a straight line. It's not something where you see, oh shit, I now know that I can, if I just practice and if I use my actions correctly and if I practice my meditation and if I practice being of service to others and I practice generosity and appreciating the skillful things I do, if I treat myself with respect, if I don't give in to the desires to kill or steal or lie, if I practice those things, I should effortlessly go in a straight line directly towards the heart of happiness. That's not the way it works. The mind is a very, very complex cabinet with a lot of different voices in it. It's like an inner committee. And on top of that, there's all these memories of things from the past. And no matter how much we practice, no matter how much effort we put into our spiritual lives, there's going to be days when we're going to wake up and we're going to be fucked up. That's called what the spiritual life is. The spiritual life is not a straight line towards happiness. It's an orbit. And some days the orbit is very, very far away from the happiness. And some days it's closer. And some days, holy shit. This day I woke up, the first thing I did is I ran outside of the house to take out the garbage and locked myself out. standing there with, you know, my, you know, just nothing. No money, no nothing. That's the way I started out. And my brain immediately exploded into all this unskillful stuff. Why me? Why is this happening to me? Like, I'm the only person that's ever locked themselves out of the house. That's the most skillful thing I do, by the way, when that happens, is remind myself, no matter what life is thrown at me, is that I'm not alone. That I'm not the first person who's experienced this. This is a normal human experience. And when you perceive things that way, it immediately calms you down and allows you to breathe and bring in your spiritual practice. But anyway, there's times when we're very far away from calm, and there's times when we get closer. And over the years, the orbit gets smaller and smaller and closer and closer. But a huge part of this practice of being able to view our thoughts from the from a place of seeing whether they're useful or not, not believing every thought that arises in the mind just because it's in your mind, doesn't mean it's useful, doesn't mean you should jump aboard it just because it's occurring in your mind. These kinds of practices over the years make the orbit get smaller and smaller and smaller until we're much closer and we have much more lasting peace than we ever thought we were capable of. But it takes time. So anyway, that's my little talk tonight. Glad you could stand the heat and listen. And now is your time to ask any questions or share on anything that I've raised. All the way in the back. Hi. Hi.